I'm Cecilia Lay, and this is Fifth Emission. Anti-trans legislation is sweeping the U.S., from outlawing drag shows to banning books that mention gender fluidity. This year, conservatives have stepped up their attacks on healthcare services for transgender youth. On Monday, Missouri became the latest red state to attempt to bar trans youth from gender-affirming care. More than 100 anti-trans healthcare bills have been introduced in state legislatures so far this year. San Francisco's not having it. The city's determined to remain a sanctuary for the trans population, and that commitment is evident by opening spaces like this.
I mean, this is the reception area.
Okay.
We have an area here where people can wait if they have appointments with some of our case managers.
That's Nikki Kalma, the managing editor of Trans Thrive, a health and resource clinic that just moved into a new 8,000 square foot space at 1460 Pine Street. She's giving a tour to Chronicle Health reporter Aaron Alday.
So what are these rooms for?
These are for therapy room.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great spot.
Yeah.
Trans Thrive will be San Francisco's biggest and first standalone facility dedicated to providing health and social services for transgender and gender nonconforming residents. Spaces like these are rare in the U.S. Trans Thrive program manager Erica Reyes says taking up this kind of space is meaningful for San Francisco, especially at this moment.
To have a space that's like this, of this caliber, is like really major for the community. We're normally in these spaces that aren't so great, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And I just really think that the community really needs this. I mean, and they deserve it.
Today on Fifth Emission, reporter Aaron Alday will share what she learned from her tour of the facility and what San Francisco's investment in the trans community means right now. What can trans and gender nonconforming residents gain from Trans Thrive's new space, especially as the national debate over gender-affirming care intensifies? Aaron Alday, great to have you on as always.
Thanks for having me.
Aaron, Trans Thrive is San Francisco's new health facility that serves the city's trans community. It opened its doors on Tuesday, and you were able to tour the space, and I was wondering if you could describe it for me. What's it like inside?
It's a really beautiful space. As soon as I walked inside, that was like my first thought. I've been a health reporter in San Francisco for a very long time, like 15 plus years. So I've been to a lot of clinics, a lot of nonprofits, a lot of city-run clinics. And they're nice spaces, but they're always sort of run down. And you can tell they've been in there for a while. And you can tell they're kind of shared. And the first thought I had was this place just looked bright. I mean, it had these big open ceilings. It felt new and fresh. At the front, there's like a little patio area. It would be like a really nice place to sit and have lunch on a sunny day. And there was like a therapy room with this really soft, velvety couch that I sat on and interviewed somebody. Everything about it just felt really just warm and welcoming and safe. And it's like a place that you just want to hang out, which is not something that I usually associate with spaces like this.
And tell me what kinds of amenities are inside. What's available to the community?
It still is a work in progress. So they're just kind of starting to move in. But right now, they do like case management, kind of the typical like social services stuff you would expect from San Francisco Health kind of directed agency. They're doing some counseling. So they're going to do like group therapy and group kind of hangouts and stuff like that. I think they really actually want to create a space that the community itself will work out. And so they're kind of leaving room for people to come in and start using the space and sort of design it around how people actually want to use it.
And you mentioned in your reporting that there's only a handful of spaces like this that exist in the country. What makes this facility unique?
Nobody really knows exactly how many spaces like this exist specifically for the transgender and the gender nonconforming communities, but they're rare, certainly. To just have a place that provides social services, that provides support, that provides kind of therapy and counseling and all these kinds of services specifically for this community to be in just a standalone space where it's not shared. They don't have to share it with anybody. That's what really sets it apart. San Francisco is considered, you know, one of, if not the sort of sanctuary for the trans community in the United States. So it's pretty remarkable that this is the first time they're getting a space of their own. And it's a big space. It's 8,000 square feet, which is not a small amount. And it's expensive. You know, they're leasing this space and it's $12,000 a month. So this is pretty remarkable investment in this community in San Francisco.
Well, speaking of investment, how did this center come about? What kind of community and funding support did it receive?
I mean, they've known for a long time that they wanted their own space. This is run, by the way, by the San Francisco Community Health Center, which is the city's big kind of social services agency. And TransThrive is part of that. And TransThrive itself was, I think, put together about 15 years ago. But in 2019 or so was when they really started thinking hard about it. And they started holding these kind of community planning events where they would meet with community members to talk about, okay, when and if we get a space, what do you want it to look like? And around that time, as they started to really resolve to do this, they approached Gilead specifically because the city has had a long partnership with Gilead in investing in these kinds of services. And Gilead, to their credit, was immediately on board, said, yes, we want to invest in this space. And they offered up $1.2 million over 2 years to invest. And that was where a lot of the funding came from. And then aside from that, basically, San Francisco Community Health Center deciding this is something we want to invest in. And so they've kind of corralled grants and funding sources from a variety of places, including the CDC, and just set up the budget and committed this is something they want to really commit and invest to.
More with Erin Alday after a quick break. What's the national debate over gender-affirming care really about? And where does the TransThrive Center position San Francisco in that conversation? You're listening to Fifth and Mission. You can support the newsroom that creates this podcast by signing up for unlimited access at sfchronicle.com/pod or by downloading the San Francisco Chronicle app. Erin Alday, you spoke to some community members about the new TransThrive facility opening. What did they share with you about being in that space?
I think what people were really excited about is just kind of how beautiful the space is. The folks I talked to were just kind of in awe of it. Like they were in tears. Like they actually had these moments of this can't be real. Like you can't be serious that this is really going to be for us. And I think that was sort of the main thing that people took away is just like, it was almost a sense of, is this too much? Like, this feels like too much. And then people kind of coming back to like, of course not. Like the thing that people said to me over and over again was we deserve this. And that it felt like it was hard almost for people to come around to that after sort of fighting for just like the bare bones kind of services for so long, feeling like they can ask and expect even more than that, expect for a place that's really stellar and really exciting, almost felt like too much. Like it felt like being greedy. And I think that for folks to come around and say, no, we deserve this and more, was a really exciting place for people to be.
Mm-hmm. And that emotion makes sense, right, Erin? Because we can't ignore the timing of this center's opening. Across the country, there are more than 400 anti-trans bills in play. Some of them are passing, and many of them are aimed at banning or limiting health care and other resources for trans youth. Just this week, Missouri became the latest state to attempt to bar trans youth from gender-affirming care. To take a step back, can you explain for us what gender-affirming care is?
Yeah, gender-affirming care is any care for trans people and gender nonconforming people, supports them in their health, kind of supports sort of their needs in being transgender. And so we often talk about it in relationship to young people who are just sort of coming around to identifying as trans. And it's sort of the early kind of intervention that, you know, sometimes will start with puberty blockers and then hormones and that eventually can lead to surgery. And it's that kind of care that, again, supports people in their sort of mental and physical space and sort of their health needs when it comes to, you know, their gender identity. That's been, you know, a big target, as you pointed out, of a lot of this anti-trans legislation is sort of going after specifically that kind of care for young people in this country.
And what exactly is the argument that's being made by lawmakers and others who are against gender-affirming care?
This is a tough thing to talk about because they have their arguments. I'm happy to kind of express that. But a lot of people will say that's not really what their arguments are about, right? I feel like I need to proceed this by saying there's a lot of people who firmly believe that these are attacks that are meant to push a larger sort of anti-LGBTQ plus agenda and really to kind of push back on a lot of the gains that have been made in human rights for the LGBTQ plus community. And so when people go after gender affirming care, they have arguments. But how real those arguments are, you know, that needs to be pointed out. That needs to be said. All that being said, you know, what will they will say is that there are still, you know, questions, there's still concerns about some of the safety around gender affirming care, especially in kids, that there's stuff that we don't know about the long-term effects of some of these early interventions for kids. There's some argument as to whether or not the risks associated with that care outweigh the benefits of receiving that gender affirming care. So that's some of what they will put out there. But I should point out there's been a lot of work, a lot of research done into affirming that these cares are helpful, that they are important, that they're even life-saving for a lot of kids and young people. That work has been done. And so that's why I say when people are pushing back against that, it's hard to believe that that's really what they're arguing.
It's important to also point out, Erin, that major medical organizations like the American Medical Association and the American Academy of Pediatrics have said gender-affirming care is potentially life-saving and medically necessary. With that in mind, how might a center like Trans Thrive help with supporting that argument?
I don't know that access to gender-affirming care in San Francisco is the problem that it is in other places. I mean, it's a problem anywhere in that health access is and health equity is an issue everywhere, and certainly in San Francisco too. But it's not like people are being denied it in San Francisco based on all these kind of political issues. More importantly, it's showing an investment in the community and saying, we're going to support you in all kinds of ways, including in your health needs, including in gender affirming care. But we're also just going to like build up this community. We're going to bolster this community. We're going to make this community very strong. So as people kind of attempt to tear us apart in other parts of the country, we're really doubling down and saying, no, we will support you in whatever you need. You come to us, tell us what you need, and we will have your backs. And I think that that's really what this is all about.
So what other kinds of services will be provided at the facility looking into the future as the community builds?
Behavioral counseling, substance use counseling, again, sort of that case management, which gets people everything from access to Social Security, to housing, safe housing, access to work training and education, that kind of thing. There will be a computer lab. I think a lot of it, though, that they really want to build up having a place of their own is sort of this community aspect. They're launching a new youth group. So there will be sort of a whole separate kind of program set aside for young people, young transgender and gender nonconforming folks. And that's a new program. So that's something that folks are really excited about, especially because young people, they can get lost really easily if they don't feel like there's a community. They don't feel like they know where to find kind of people who identify the same as they do. And they can get kind of down a really negative path. I mean, even in a place like San Francisco, folks were telling me young people get lured into becoming sex workers, to becoming, you know, they, even in San Francisco, they might not get the family support. They could be kicked out of their home, but they might not even be kicked out. They might just not get the support they need to see a future for themselves that's beyond just survival. And so to have this community to really show like, no, you have all kinds of options and we're going to help you get there. I think that's something that they're really excited about in having this space of their own. They're also launching on the other end of the spectrum, a group for 50 plus. So for older transgender people who maybe on the other side of things have never had a community to talk about, what does retirement look like? What does just aging as a transgender person look like in San Francisco? And to have that kind of support for these older community members is happening at the same time. I think folks are really excited about that.
Well, Erin, thanks so much for telling me about this new sanctuary in San Francisco. It's great to learn about it. Appreciate it. As always, thanks, Erin.
Thanks for giving me an opportunity to talk about it. I'm really excited.
Erin Allday is a health reporter at The Chronicle. Find her story about Trans Thrive's facility online at sfchronicle.com and on the Chronicle app. Thanks to Gary Baca for editing this episode, Francesca Fenzi for the production help, and to you for listening.